and amen. Wow, it's such a delight to bring the word of God to us. But for some reason, Pastor Emmanuel's face is strong this morning, and I'm like, God help me. Because every time he goes to Nigeria and he comes back, there's just something different about him. We'll see how the Holy Spirit will help us in service today. I don't take today lightly at all. There's something that I want to share, and I believe God has given me this message to share to us this morning. It's the halftime of the year, and it's just a word of encouragement that I want to bring to us. And then we'll pray, and then we'll see how God will move in service. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. This is the story of Paul to the church, to the Galatian church. And he was encouraging them or bringing God's word to them on certain things. We'll go into those things. We'll say a few things and we'll pray. So Galatians chapter 3 from verse 1. The Bible says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed amongst us as crucified." Verse 2 says, "This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law?" Another translation says, "by the works of the flesh," or "by the hearing of faith." Verse 3 says, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain?" Galatians chapter 5, that's my second text. Galatians chapter 5. Paul says in verse 7 and verse 8, I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, "You were running the race well." It says, "Who has interfered and prevented you from obeying the truth? This deceptive persuasion is not from him who called you to freedom in Christ." The title of my message this morning is, "Who hindered you?" Who hindered you? Many a times we give our life to Christ and there is this excitement and there is this zeal. There is this notion that maybe partly who led you to Christ tells you that come to Jesus Christ and everything will be perfect. Come to Jesus Christ and your life will not remain the same. It is true, your life will not remain the same. But there are certain things that you are going to have to walk out. There are certain things that you're going to have to contend for. There are certain things that you're going to have to fight for. It's very amazing to me that war broke out in heaven. I mean, think about that for a second. War broke out in heaven. Lucifer was able to convince about a third of the angels that let's go against God. And war broke out in heaven. So God fought to keep his heaven, to keep heaven, to keep his throne. Well, I don't think fought. It was more like beat down, just beat them up. War broke out there in heaven. What am I saying? I am saying, there are times when you and I are excited about that new job, that new car, that new marriage, that new relationship, that new relationship with Christ. He tells you to do something. That new business, that new endeavor. There is passion, there is zeal, there is excitement. But 2 years, 3 years, 1 year, 6 months, 6 weeks, somewhere along the line, something or someone comes to hinder us. And then it changes our perspective. Why? So my challenge for you this morning is, who hindered you or what hindered you? Many a times we start the year and we say this is our New Year's what? Resolution. By January, I'm going to lose 6 pounds. By February, I'm going to lose another 6 pounds. By March, I'm going to lose the third 6 pounds. So I've lost 18 pounds by March. The reality, however, sometimes is we have gained 20 pounds only in January. Something hindered that progress, or someone hindered that progress. It oftentimes, and I say this lightly, I say this not from a place of arrogance or anything. Oftentimes, it amazes me, or I feel sad. It saddens my heart when I see people, and you can almost see what the enemy is using to distract them, standing there, and you are having conversations, and for some reason, it's like, my way is the right way. It really is sad. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I remember back in high school in Nigeria, I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm not one of those parents that came out to the first class. I didn't have first class. I was not always the first in my class. And I go back and I try to figure out, why was I not a bright student? So for perspective, I schooled partly in Nigeria for college, and then I schooled here in the U.S. for college, and it was two different people. The same individual, but two completely different results. Why? One person here was focused. The other person in Nigeria was not focused. Distraction. So today, by the help of God, I want to just tell us some things that hinder us. Some things the enemy uses to hinder that race. Paul was saying, look, you started in the spirit. You went on a fast. You prayed to God. God gave you that job. And then now, 3 weeks later, you are despaired. You're like, I don't think this is it. You went, you are the one that said Pastor Emmanuel gave you a word that you should join the ushering team. And then after 3 months, you are nowhere to be found in church. What happened? Yeah, the one that came and gave a testimony that I was just minding my business and God opened my eyes and I saw my wife, and then now we are married. And then now, 6 years later, you ask yourself, did I marry the right person? Like, did I? Some people never 6 years, maybe 8 months. Did I marry the right person? What hinders us? Galatians says, you started the race well. Like, you started well in the spirit. Whatsoever is born of God does what? It overcomes the world. I downloaded this thing from God, but now I am trying to execute it. Because of whatever resistance I face, I start to challenge God. God, did you really send me? He did. God has never said there will be no opposition. God has never said that you are not going to face any kind of resistance. But he says, be of good cheer. I am here with you. So what hinders us? Or what hinders me? I'm going to run through some of these things because some of it we know. But I'm here to reiterate, what is hindering you from going all the way? Not in any order of importance. The first thing that I want to start with is fear and self-doubt. Personally, my greatest fear is to die full. I want to die empty. I can't write a book in heaven. I can't do anything. So for me, I am, when it comes to anything else, let's just do it. I'll rather fail forward than not to take any step. Fear has stopped people from going all in. What if I fail? What if you succeed? Well, what if I write this book and nobody reads it? Well, guess what? If you've written that book, we will not know if nobody's going to read it. Let's write it and let's see. I was telling Evidence the other day that I remember, I don't know if some of you remember this. I think we were back at Madison. It was in the summer, Victory House, where Pastor Manuel was preaching. And it started to rain from the ceiling. It wasn't raining outside. It just, the roof started to leak. I can bet you he will ask himself, who sent me? I can just imagine in this quiet time, God, you called me. Why in the middle, why did it rain Monday? Why did it leak on Wednesday? Why did it leak Saturday? Sunday at 12 o'clock, when Pastor Manuel was preaching, the roof starts to leak. But fear would have made him say, you know what, let's just play small. He finished his message like nothing happened, and he continued. When you look at life, you are going to face opposition. And I want to tell you this. The devil is going to ask you who sent you. You show up that God sends me. And that's why it is important for you to do what? Start in the spirit. Like Paul was saying, you started this thing in the spirit. In the context of Paul, he was talking about law and works. The Galatian people were preaching, look, you are going to be saved by the works, by your flesh. You have to earn it. And Paul was saying, no, you have been saved by grace through faith. So he was bringing that perspective to them. For you and I, fear has killed many people than the actual situation itself. What if this? What if it doesn't work this way? What if this? What? I'm telling you, another word for fear or another word for faith is risk. How do you know it will work? Well, let's find out. How do you know I can walk on water? Jesus said, Peter, come. The only way we can know whether Peter will walk on water is if he actually tries it. I beg you, whatever it is that God has placed in your heart, just do it. I was not the first in my school, but now I don't even know why I was not first in second. How many of you remember why you were not first? For whatever reason, maybe you were playing soccer, you were not going to class. For whatever reason, you didn't do the homework. Now it doesn't matter. When we stand before God, and God says, I told you to do this. The last thing you want to tell God is, God, I was afraid. I was afraid what people will say. See, I've come, let me tell you, don't let people hear. This is a secret between me and you. People are going to talk. They are going to talk. If you don't do it, they will come and complain. If you do it, so just do it and let them, give them something to talk about. How, see, failure, rejection, or I don't have enough. When I had my first son, I was having a conversation with my mom. My mom was like, see, let me tell you, I know you may not think about money, but nobody uses savings accounts to raise kids. Nobody uses savings accounts. I don't know what's in your savings account, but that's not what you use to raise kids. It is God that will raise those kids for you. Sometimes people say, I don't have enough money. That's why I don't want to get married. That's the best time to get married. So she will know, see, sister, there's no money now, but there's going to be money in the future. So she has seen you when you have just one pair of shoe. And if she's going to come, let her come. If she's not going to come, keep it moving. When it comes to fear, it cripples. And that's why the Bible says what? God hasn't given you and I the spirit of fear, but that of power, of love, and a sound mind. You need a sound mind to be able to do the things God has called you to do. So I'm asking you, this is the half time. We have started second half. What is hindering you? This is a landmark here. If it's going to be a landmark here, you have to make landmark moves. You have to dare things. You have to dare things. I sent one email to my sister the other day and she saw the amount. She said, do you have the money? I said, I don't have the money, but we'll figure it out. Let's talk to them. Second thing, distractions. And sometimes some of us are guilty of this. What hindered you? Distraction and lack of focus. I have come to realize you cannot multitask and be effective. People that have 20 businesses or are doing 30 things, they are not doing all the 30 things at the same time. They started with one, put structure, went to number two, put structure, went to number three, put structure. There's a running joke in my house. I'm not going to look at my wife. I'm going to look at Lisa. She was saying that, you know, men cannot multitask. And we're having this conversation in the car. And while we were having the conversation, I was driving. And the moment we started having the conversation, I stopped driving and I was focusing on her. And the car was just slowing down. And she just said, you see my point. I was like, okay, you cannot, that's the lie. You can't do everything. Do one, go to the next, do the other one. Focus. One of the things that distracts us in this generation, social media, is very distracting. Your phone. Very distracting. And for some reason, everybody is doing well on social media. And for some reason, people are being depressed because of social media. I was talking to somebody recently, and she's a teenager and she has tried to commit suicide twice. Social media pressure, peer pressure. When you look at Mary and Martha, the Bible talks about it. Jesus tells us one thing is needful. See, let me tell you something. I've come to a realization. If you center your life around God, it may take time, but you would succeed. If you center your life around God, you can't serve God and follow God and carry last or fail. It may take time because he does things in his own time, but you cannot follow God and carry last. Now, why am I saying this? Sometimes you want to serve God. Job is calling you. This one is calling you. That one is calling you. You cannot chase everything. Some things are going to have to suffer. I want to just ask you this morning, what's distracting you? You answer it. I don't need to answer it for you because of my time. So number one is what? Fear. Number two, distraction and lack of focus. Number three, because I want us to pray, sin and compromise. You see, when we're talking about hindrances, there are certain things that is sin. And there are certain things that are weight. You compromise. When you sin, the Bible says that whoever that calls the name of the Lord, let him do what? Let him depart from iniquity. Why did Lucifer fall? Or why did Lucifer go against God? The Bible says iniquity was found in his heart. And that began to fester. And it just rose up one day and said, I can run my own parallel ministry. Let me tell you something. You see, the thing about sin is it is subtle. One lie here, one thing there, one extra look there, you know, someone also says, oh, I don't steal, I don't do anything. But when it comes to taxes, you know you did not give $10,000 a year, but you now say you gave $20,000. You know you did, like, you falsified documents, it's still part of it. I'll share a testimony. If you judge me, God will forgive you. There was one time I was trying to do this business, and the person said I was going to be selling certain products. So let's do it. We import it from Nigeria. This was just before COVID. I said, yeah, we import it from Nigeria and we'll do it. I told my wife. My wife was like, okay, what's the product? So I mentioned all the products but one product, because I know that the moment I say that product, she's going to say, you're not selling alcohol. So I said, okay, because there was money involved, I was like, I wanted to start to import alcoholic beverage, me, to the U.S. If you judge me. So, and the rationale then was, well, people invest in, you have stocks, and some of your stocks invest in Nigerian breweries and all those things. And then I said, when I start doing that business, will I be able to come out here and give a testimony? I said, I brought in 6 containers and my containers are doing well. Or what will I tell Pastor Emmanuel? Or what will I tell my wife? And I lost some money just investing in that deal. What am I saying? Compromise. What you compromise to get, you will compromise to keep. And it will start to hinder you. It will start to slow you down. Oh, we're just hanging out. We just finished 10 hours of prayer and fasting. We just finished 100 days of fasting. And then you now go on social media. Burna Boy is coming. It's confusion. Burna Boy, he didn't come and meet. He didn't tell you he's fasting. He didn't tell he's coming to church. He didn't tell you he's doing his own thing. You are doing your own thing. Again, if you love Burna Boy, that's on you. I'm just here to deliver a message. What you compromise to get, you will compromise to keep. Again, who or what hindered you? Number 4, wrong relationships. Wrong relationships. This is very, you have to be discerning, because wrong relationships can literally break your relationship with God. One of the things that happened to Solomon is his wives turned his heart away from God. Do you know what it means to have that many women? There's a problem. Serious problem. The thing about wrong relationships is, if you are not discerning enough, it will slowly take you away from the things of God. And when you need advice the most, they will give you the wrong counsel. Let me tell you this. When you are going through situations, I beg you, pray to God to send you a voice. There are people that will just say a word to you and it will help you reset. And there are people that will say a word and that is what would derail you. I mean, me and Pastor Manuel, we laugh over this. We talk about civil war. But he knows what I mean. It's an inside joke. There was a time I would have severed my relationship with Pastor Emmanuel because of counsel. It seemed good. It came from a godly place. But when you look at the fruits, it doesn't make sense. If you are going through situations, I repeat, and you talk to the wrong person, and the person fuels that situation, Take it from me. You need to end that relationship. I know people are like, Pastor, this is what he's saying. Let me just look at camera. Toxic relationship, it distracts, it is discouraging, and it limits what God wants to do in your life. If God is going to lift you, it is through men. If the devil is going to pull you down, it is through men, relationships. You can't control the family you came through. You can't control you having siblings, but you can choose your friends. You can choose who speaks into your life. You have a relationship. I mean, I can't imagine a married man saying, "Oh, man, I have issues with my wife." And your friend tells you, "Women, don't mind them. That's how they do." It's a problem. The first time you may not listen. The second time you may not listen. He's sowing seeds. Before you know it, you just say, "Women, yeah, that's how they do." Wrong relationships would hinder you. Or somebody comes to meet you. I mean, we're an immigrant church, right? When you migrate from whatever country you come from, I can tell you without fail, where you land matters. The counsel you get matters. They tell you what is possible and what is not possible. And because you don't know, you take in those conversations. Paul starts by saying, "You started well. You started this race well. Who hindered you?" Number five. This one is quite interesting. Spiritual lukewarmness or complacency. You know, our strength, our source, our power lies in the Word of God. I want to be clear on that. It's the Word of God. It is the incorruptible seed. It's the incorruptible Word of God. It is the power of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God, the Word is God, is life. Words are not just to communicate. They are meant to create. God's words create things. He speaks things that don't exist as though they do. And then they do exist. The Word of God is potent. It's our source. It should be what we feed on. But my question for us is, who hindered us? I was watching a documentary on Kobe Bryant. And Kobe Bryant had this insane work ethics. And he just proved it by basic math. He will work out 3 times every day. He'll start at 3 o'clock in the morning. He'll walk till 6. He'll eat, go back, walk in the early morning, night, and then he'll go back again. I think he was working at 3 or 4 times a day. And then his premise was this: look, if you're a professional athlete and I'm a professional athlete, and I am working more than you, meaning I'm working out more than you do, after 5 years or 3 years, you cannot catch up with me, regardless of what you do. If we take that premise and we bring it to the Word of God, if you know that your only hope is the Word of God, are you treating it as it's your only hope? Does that make sense? Sometimes we act like we have plan B, or we have another life, or we have another solution. Now, trust me, every excuse you have in the book, God knows those excuses, and God is not unawares. And I can tell you, many of them will not hold water. Why did you not fulfill destiny? this lukewarmness, God says this, if you are not hot, you are not cold in Revelation 3:16. Because you are lukewarm, you are neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now, when you look at that context, is I just go to church and I do my bare minimum. I just read the Bible and I do my bare minimum. The bare minimum doesn't get you anywhere. There are destinies that are tied to you. I firmly believe it's not only pastors or ordained ministers that should be laboring in praying and in fasting and in spending time in the Word. It's not a pastor thing. It's a me thing. It's a life thing. And I'll just challenge you. Should we do a challenge? 3 months challenge. Increase your prayer life by 50%. Increase your word intake by 50%. Increase your fellowship with God by 50%. And you will see the difference. Personally, when I notice that I'm getting agitated in certain things, it's because I know my word intake is low in that area. Lukewarmness. And the devil will make you lukewarm. Comfort. This life is not hard. I mean, you are the one crying, I need a job. Now you have a job. I mean, why are we doing 10 hours prayer? We didn't kill Jesus. I mean, Jesus is already dead. He's done his thing. He's risen up. I didn't kill Jesus. Oh, I'm not the pastor. I'm not the pastor. I remember the first time Pastor Mario said we should do prayer work. This was years ago. I just said, God, how did I meet Pastor Emmanuel? I should have just been on my own. He said, why am I, this is Friday morning, 9 a.m. We are walking in the bush for what? What are you looking for? What? I didn't kill Jesus. But I can tell you, it builds capacity. It builds what? Capacity. Every single person, you are going to have what is called the day of adversity. It's not a curse. I'm not the prophet of doom. Every single human being, the devil is going to come and knock. The day of adversity, whether it's job loss, whether it's infertility issues, whether it's financial issues, whether it's health challenge, whatever it is, the day of it is going to show up. And the Bible says, they that know their God, what is going to happen to us? We'll be strong and we will do exploits. There is something about your spiritual life that draws strength to you. That's the source. Then this next one, unforgiveness. I mean, I'm just giving us points. And bitterness. I've seen unforgiveness ruin relationships. I've seen bitterness stifle destiny. Let me tell you right now. Me, Toyosi Erugogo, I am going to offend you. I'm just telling you right now. I am going to step on you. You are going to call me one day and I'm not going to pick up. And it's going to take me 4 days to respond. It's okay. I'm telling you right now. I am going to offend you. I'm going to do it. But the question is this. I'm going to call you and I'm going to ask you to forgive me. It's left to you to forgive me. And I'm not saying that from a place of I'm proud to do it. I am trying to tell you we are human beings. We are going to rub each other the wrong. I'm going to step on your toes. I'm going to say something that you don't like. Unforgiveness. It has robbed people of destiny. Look how they are talking about me. Should they be talking about you? No, but they did talk about you. Sister, brother, get over it. This is not license for people to misbehave. But see, let me tell you something. Unforgiveness, let me tell you how it progresses. I come, I offend you. You don't deal with that unforgiveness. Before you know it, you talk to Sister Fortunate. Sister Fortunate said, don't mind him. That's how Pastor Tayosi does. He does this thing. Now, you talk to this person. That's how they do. Before you know it, when Pastor Emmanuel comes, that's how Pastor they do. Now, Pastor Emmanuel is praying. You are not receiving anything. Nothing is happening. It started with one man just stepping on your toes. Now you get to a point. I've been in that church and I'm not being fed. I want to leave. Then you now leave. You now go to another church and you repeat the cycle. And then you now say, oh, when you're in your 50s, this Christianity, we have zeal too. We have zeal. We have been there. Just take it. You have to be wise. Nonsense. You are not my standard. The word of God is my standard. Let me tell you this. Before you receive counsel from people, make sure that you are not receiving counsel from a place of their pain or their own limitations as well. When they speak to you, they should speak to you with the possibilities of God. If a pastor has hurt you, I am sorry, but it's not every pastor that hurts you. And even if the pastor hurts you, learn to forgive. At least your wife has hurt you and your husband has hurt you and you're still together. I'm looking at the camera. I'm not looking at married people. I'm just looking at the camera. Holding on to offense, past wounds, or resentment. If you do not forgive others, Matthew tells us, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. And the one that Christ, Jesus was saying, look, you have to forgive people 70 times, 7 times. And woe is he to him which offense comes. Let me tell you something. We are going to offend one another. But this notion here that bitterness, if you let bitterness take root, imagine we get to heaven and we are standing before our maker and God is saying, Teresi, why didn't you say all those spoken words that I was placing in your heart? Well, it's because I tried to talk to Sister Fortunate and she said I wasn't good enough. So now, that's it. And she hurt my feelings. So do you think God will be like, oh, that's enough. That's fine. Don't worry about it. We have to start to think about that day that we'll stand before our maker. There is going to be that is one day you will meet with the King of Kings and you will have these conversations. And I can guarantee you some of these things will not hold water. Whatever they did. I have a problem with Christianity that does not translate into your character. There's something fundamentally off. Fruit of the Spirit. You cannot be praying and fasting and you think it's okay to walk in unforgiveness. There's just something off. It's not normal. It's a demonic stronghold. It's a foothold that the devil is using to pull you down. You cannot be praying and fasting and unforgiveness. And someone's like, well, I forgive everybody. Praise God for you. I'm talking to people that struggle with it. It is a hindrance. It slows you down. I have to just tell them. I have to just give them a piece of my mind. How is that working for you? Number one, fear. Number two, distraction. Number three, sin and compromise. Number four, wrong relationships. Number five, spiritual lukewarmness and complacency. Number six, unforgiveness. See, emotional and spiritual bondage is what unforgiveness is. It blocks intimacy with God. You can't walk in unforgiveness and go into the presence of God. It cuts access between you and God. Unforgiveness. As I begin to wrap up, because I want us to pray. I want us to pray. Let me give one more. There's quite a number here that I wrote. Let me give one more. Number seven, lack of biblical knowledge and or prayer. Lack of biblical knowledge. It's close to spiritual lukewarmness, but lack of biblical knowledge. What do I mean by that? I understand there's certain times that you ask people, okay, what does the Bible say about this or what does the Bible say about that? I get that. But lack of biblical knowledge hinders us from doing certain things, running this race. When you go back to Galatians that we read, Paul starts and he says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" In verse 3, he says, "You started this thing in the spirit." What? You started your faith with God, coming to him based on faith with grace. And then now, do you think it is your legalism, your work ethics, that is going to keep you saved? That's what he was saying. So who has bewitched you? People say what you don't know will not hurt you. What you don't know has finished you. The difference between where you are and where you want to be is revelation knowledge, is light. It's knowledge. Let me give you an example. Medical doctors, before you got your degree, imagine you're on a plane. You're flying, or you're driving, or you're in a place. It's in a scenario, in a place. And then somebody starts convulsing. What would you do as somebody that is not trained? Most of us will call 911 here in the West. You call 911 and you move away. But a trained doctor would go towards the situation. The difference between you and I is what? They are informed. They have knowledge. If somebody starts convulsing here now, some people will run through the door, others will call 911. Pastor can just speak the word only. Amen? Knowledge. I beg you, never do anything with head knowledge. I talk about relationship, and I'll just talk about that a little bit. I don't understand how people just go into relationship with heart knowledge. They just fall in love. Just, she's gorgeous. I am trying to make a decision for the rest of my life. My sister is going to be more than your looks. It's going to be more than long hair. It's going to be more than you can sing, because you're not going to sing for me every day at home. You're not. It's going to be more than you can cook, because you're not going to cook for every day. And we have to have this conversation. Knowledge is power. My people perish for lack of knowledge. It is power. I cannot express that in knowledge. There are times where at work, I was trying to do certain things, and I was struggling, and I had a phone call with one person. I think, remember then, I was calling evidence. I need to figure this thing out. And I called this lady. I was like, Jesus. Not one conversation. If there's anything that you are doing, please seek knowledge. Somebody comes and tells you that he's growing in God, he's walking with God, things are opening up for him. Don't just assume he's lucky. Don't just say, well, it's because he came to the U.S. with papers. It's because he has papers, or it's because he's an immigrant, or because he has... No. It's a mindset. Knowledge is power. And with knowledge, see, sometimes you don't do things because you don't know what to do. There's a dimension of that. But sometimes you don't do things because even though you know what to do, you lack the ability. And that's where knowledge and power, it's revelation knowledge. It illuminates you, and then now you don't only just know what to do, you have the empowerment to get things done. Who hindered you? Why am I saying this? I believe in my heart of hearts that 2025 is pregnant. It's loaded with possibilities in God. There are things that is just hanging over our head. There are things that we need to plunge into. But these are some of the things that hinder us from going all the way. It's the second half of the year, and there's still time. I know we'll get to December, and we'll be saying the God of the 11th hour miracle. I need it to be done. Let's start now. Now. Let's start now. There's a fierce sense of urgency. Why? I was thinking about this, and our father-in-law, Pastor Dewey, said, this is a landmark year. It's a year that is supposed to be defining. And for us, it should be a defining year. I'm telling you to push God like you have never pushed God before. I'm telling you to go all in like you have never done before. I'm telling you to face the things God has placed in your hands like you have not done it before. So, you know everybody's going to die if Jesus doesn't come. Every one of us. Nobody's going to make it to heaven alive. This is where everything ends. And don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about death. I'm talking about the reality. Sometimes we play it too safe. I'm not saying don't have a savings account, but you're playing it too safe. In your 20s, please, all the way, be as aggressive as possible. Amen? And then, I wasn't going to talk about this one, but I'll use this. I'll use this as what we'll use to start to pray. Before I do that, I want to talk about how do I overcome? How do I overcome? So these things that I've said fear, distraction, sin, wrong relationship, spirituality, unforgiveness, and then unforgiveness, and then lack of knowledge. How can I overcome these hindrances? There is a force field that I'll tell you, and I just use that word because there's a way you can protect yourself against these hindrances. Number one is stay rooted in the Word of God daily. How many people work out? When you work out, it's not working out once, because I work out too, but I work out once in 5 years. And that's why you're seeing the result that you see. Somebody else works out once in 4 years, another result. But somebody else that works out every day, completely different results. So it's not the Word of God, it's the consistency. Sometimes we pray, but we pray once every month when we do 10 hours prayer. That's it. And the 10 hours prayer, we come at the end. What am I saying? I'm saying, see, you need to stay rooted. Have a formula for daily feeding that is personal to you. Feed on, not religiously, feed on the Word daily. That's a non-negotiable. How do you overcome hindrances? Feed on the Word daily. Number two, how do you overcome hindrances? Spend quiet time meditating. There is me, I am reading the Word, yes. But God, what do you mean by unforgiveness? Or, you know what I mean? They that know their God, they'll be strong, they'll do exploit. Thank you, Jesus. Fine. God, what does that mean? You need to meditate. When you meditate, you are grinding it for nutrients. Digestion starts to take place when you cogitate, when you are grinding your food. Imagine me just eating and I don't chew to swallow. I'm not going to be healthy. I need to chew and then I need to swallow. That's what that does. And then when you do that, so it starts with rooted in the Word of God. Then the other one is you're meditating. Then see, I want you to start to practice fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Do you know what that means? Understanding that me and the Holy Spirit, we are one. We talk. When you know that the Holy Spirit is here with me, you won't say certain things. You won't do certain things. You won't go to certain places. There are certain things by default you just won't do because you know the Holy Spirit is right here with you. You won't insult pastor. You won't talk bad about people because you know the Holy Spirit is right here. And then you need to surround yourself with godly counsel. Amen? Godly counsel. People that would challenge you. People that would challenge you. This last one is what I want us to use to pray. As I was preparing for this, I feel and I sense that there are people that are struggling with church hurt. They're just hurt. Church hurt is a hindrance. It's a real, I guess it's a word now. Somebody hurt me in church. But I don't know why we don't talk about hospital hurt or work hurt. There are many people that, me, I've been bruised by corporate America. You don't hear me standing, corporate America hurts. But church hurts. They hurt me in that church. We are sorry. So we are going to ask God to help you heal this morning or this afternoon. Complete healing. There are people, you started well. You were on fire for God. You had things. You and God were doing projects on a monthly basis. This is what God is telling me. This is what God is inspiring me to do. This is my conversation with God. You and God were in regular conversations. Now, it's too far in between. You don't even remember the last time God said, do this, because you are hurt. That hurt is designed to hold you down. The reality is this. There is healing in the house. I'm saying this because, let me tell you why I'm saying this. Not everybody, unfortunately, I pray everybody does it, but not everybody is going to maximize this season. I really pray we do. I pray that the Holy Spirit convicts us. I pray that we partner with God to let Him do what He wants to do in this season. His grace is available for everybody, but it's only people that would take advantage of it and access that grace. Church hurt. You may not be church hurt, but you're just hurt and you're broken. There's despair. You're not even sure what the next step is. I'm barely surviving. I'm not calling you out or anything. But it's a prayer that we're all just going to pray. Because that's what the enemy wants to use to rob you of what God wants to do this year. I've seen it happen to too many people. And I pray in the name of Jesus that whatever it is that is holding you bound, whatever it is that is holding individuals in this state of hurt, anger, despair, being victims, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead would give life to that situation in the name of Jesus. I want us just to rise up to our feet. And ask God this morning, Lord, heal my heart. For some of us, the Holy Spirit will remind you of who caused certain things. If you need to let them go, let them go. Ask God to infiltrate your heart. Ask God to help you return back to Him. Lord, examine my heart. The Bible says there was iniquity found in Lucifer. It's from iniquity that we have what we is that we have today. It was found in him. Ask God this morning, Lord, infiltrate my heart. Oh, heal me, Lord. I lay everything down at your feet. That hurt, that anger, that anxiety, that worry, that weight that easily ensnares me. Paul said one thing that I do. I do not remember the former things. Isaiah was saying, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Paul said this as well. He says, I die daily. I discipline my flesh. It's daily. Lord, heal my heart. I ask for your strength. I ask for grace. Help me forgive. Yabagadu pa legede. Ezekenda diagadaligede. Yakazubagada legede. They hurt me. Yes, they did. Agaska tumba lagada legede. Help me forgive. Help me, yagaskete. Unforgiveness is a chain that holds you down. Rabagadu pa legede legede. Infiltrate my heart. Lepes ketendede. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Akando bagada lekadoska ta lekete. Endegede kezeketendegede. Come and feel this thirsting of my soul. Ekes ketendegede. Bread of heaven. Fill me, Lord. Help me, fill me till I overflow. La bagadu ba lekete. What we are doing this morning is we are creating, we are paving a way for what's about to come next. This is a time for you to cry to your maker. This is a time for you to cry to God. Help me, Lord. It's empowerment that we need for the next half. Lord, heal me.